The new covenant priesthood that we're part of is different than every other priesthood, even the priesthood of Aaron and Melchizedek. And here's how it's different. Other priesthood offer bulls or goats or sheep, and the victim of the sacrifice is less part of them than the robes that they wear. That they shed somebody else's blood. The animal loses its life, not the priest. In Christ, in the priesthood of Jesus, which is where we share, in the priesthood of Jesus, the priest, the sacrificer, and the victim, the sacrifice, are one in the same. The cross, then, is a symbolic representation of the union between the priest and the victim, hung between heaven and earth. As Jesus united God and man through his obedience to the Father's will and through a love for man that was so great, he would not leave him in sin. Became so united, so passionate to show us the Father's heart to the Father, and then show the Father's heart to us and to bring our heart to the Father as child of God. Jesus so united with humanity that he took humanity back with him. And the evidence of his humanity is not his glorified body. The evidence of his humanity is his wounds, which are the wounds of love. And we are called into that priesthood to be both priest and victim in the Eucharistic feast. Too many clergy want the respect, the admiration, the glory of the priesthood, but reject in word and action what comes with it. See, we're a church that faces death and resurrection every time we come to the Eucharist. And if you don't bring an offering, there is no sacrifice. It's a way a divine exchange happens at every Eucharist. We give him our sin. He gives us his forgiveness. We give him our woundedness. He gives us his healing. We give him our emptiness. He gives us his love. And we're called as priests to participate in that with our people. The royal priesthood is summed up in Romans chapter 12. I appeal to you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice. We all know, what do you do with a sacrifice? You kill it. Present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Be no longer conformed to the patterns of this world, but be renewed. Be renewed in your mind. That's the priesthood. That's worship. A church will face that, will not be afraid. If we face every day that we're called in that. There's a Benedictine monk that said, Every night in the office, the compline, if you do compline, you do, Lord, let us now thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which you have prepared for all the world to see, a light to enlighten the nations and the glory of your people Israel. And then you go to sleep. He says that's death practice. So you're just practicing to die. So that's what's going to happen. Hopefully, priests will come, you'll be there. You'll say, depart, O Christian soul, out of this world. name of the Father who created you, the Son who redeemed you, the Holy Spirit who sanctified you. May the angels receive you this day in paradise. Bye. And they usually die right away. You ever notice that? But we're practicing, preparing for our death. And when we come in the Eucharist, it's the same thing. And a church that gets that passion for the Eucharistic table and the real presence of Christ and the real presence of his love and the proclamation of his death and resurrection will never be afraid to face death at the end of a machete or a gun. Phil Weeks tells a story of a priest in the Philippines and up in the mountains and where the communists were really prevalent years ago. And they got hold of this young priest, who had like 6 or 7 kids, and they kidnapped him along with 2 other guys. And they got him up there, and they're going to kill him. And they give him a shovel and tell him to start digging a grave. And as he's digging the grave, this young priest, he's yelling out at God, "Why are you doing this? Why did you let me happen? I'm your servant. I've got young children. I've got a wife. I'm just starting my life." And he's digging and he's digging. And all of a sudden, God showed him the glory of heaven. Just overwhelmed him with the love of heaven. It's like a window opened up and just poured into him. And he's saying, "This is what you're going to see. This is what you're going to face." And the guy starts digging faster and faster and faster and faster. And he finishes the hole and he gets out. And all that's there is one communist left who's weeping and crying because Jesus appeared to him. And the young priest said, "Darn. I got to stay around." But God wants a church like that. Wants a church like that. So in America, we've got a church that thinks heaven's going to be disappointing. I say, people die and say, "Look at all the things they're going to miss." Like what? Really? I mean, I'm not volunteering. But I believe heaven's better. I believe heaven's my reward. That's my reward. It's heaven. And there's no reward earth can give me compared to heaven. I consider these momentary sufferings as nothing compared to the glory that awaits me. We have a church that can say that? That's a church with passion, isn't it? That's the church this world needs to know. That's what the world needs to know. A church has a passion that if it's sunny, you don't go to church, or rainy and you don't go to church, or a football game and you don't go to church, or it's Father's Day because you don't go to church, because you don't want to be in the presence of the living God. Are we presenting the presence of the living God? That's the question. Are we seeking that? That's what the church is ready. That's what the world is waiting for that. You follow me? God loves us. An encounter with his love. See, we're going to die anyways. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. The moment you were conceived, you were on a journey to dead. Time limited. And we're always proceeding toward death. And in the process, we're dying. All along. Little deaths. An infant dies, you know, when it has to give up the bottle. That's a death experience. They die to one phase, move on to the next. A toddler dies to one phase. Going to school is a death of having mommy all around. That's why some kids are traumatized by it. There's a death when you graduate from high school. There's a death when you get married. You have to die to single. A lot of people having trouble with marriage since they didn't die to single. Following? You got to die to something to move on to the next phase. No? I had one person say to me, I just turned 40, I'm not sure this adult thing is going to work. You know? But there's dying to stuff. You have kids, you got to die to things. And you have to sacrifice and you have to enter into a whole nother. But we're all in that process all along. And so what do we say at a funeral mass? For us, life is not ended. It's just changed. It's just changed. We have to die to move on. We have to come to an end of ourselves. We need to repent that we have avoided death as a church for the sake of comfort. Repent and turn and expect. That's what Second Chronicles is saying. Humble yourself, humiliate yourself, repent, return, and expect God to heal, to move among us. As I said, the problem is not afraid of death, but the process of dying, I said the other day. I used to think, both my parents died in the early 70s, and my father died of colon cancer. So I got to go get Roto-Rooted every couple of years. And which, if you travel, I have this thing that when you get a colonoscopy, you know, they put you under anesthesia. It is so nice there. I mean, you just wake up and it's like, wow. I think they ought to install those on airplanes. You know what I mean? Just get on the plane and, oh, you're in Nairobi. You know? Anyway, I digress. But anyways, my father died slowly and painfully. And I used to think, I don't want to die that way. Now, I've heard a lot of people say that, you know, just bring the gun, blow up the back of the head, or have a massive heart attack and die. But that's what happened to my mother. Her brain exploded in the back of her head, and you're dead. And I've decided I don't want to die that way. I want to die the other way, because my dad got to say goodbye. I got to say goodbye. We had a great healing around his death. A major healing. And I just buried somebody here that struggled with cancer. Painful, horrible. Believed to the last minute she was going to be healed. But she finally said, I'll accept whatever God's will is. God began to taste heaven a little. And when she died, all her kids were right around her. Her husband was there. And they cried and they wept and she received the sacrament and said a prayer and she left. And they mourned, but it was not without hope. It was not without hope. And we bring that message. See, the call for the future of the church and to be the church will take all that we can muster. But the ancient path is still the ancient path. It's not anything new. It's not like we keep having to invent a new thing. CEC is not a new thing, it's the old thing. And it's so different than the new things that are out here that people think it's the new thing. You know, people really think the ancient church of the 16th century had rock concerts. That's how Luther worshipped. With a pulpit in the middle. And if Luther didn't, Calvin definitely did. You know? I'm dead serious. And they think that's the ancient. And so it must have happened prior to the 16th century. But no, the ancient thing is what God has been showing us. It's the ancient path. It's the ancient boundary markers. You know? And And again, it's not just a CEC. Please, please, please don't go out there. We're the thing. We're part of the thing. We're a part of the thing. And I don't know. I can't tell you as a patriot. It doesn't matter to me if it doesn't stay the thing and we get meshed in with some other thing. And I'm not saying that's going to happen or not. I don't know. But the thing's not going away. What we're doing is not going away. Okay? And it's moving towards something which is the redemption of the world around us. Take cheer that where the battle we're fighting. If you get a picture of the larger church, take cheer. CEC is growing massively, quickly, rapidly in other parts of the world. But it's answering the ancient call. But their battle is different. You know, their battle is different, and they're struggling with heresies of, you know, Brazil's got the heresy of you're saved, you can do whatever you want, heresy. You know, it's okay, God loves you, even if you're living with somebody, even if you're, you know, so it's okay, don't worry, you're saved. And they're struggling with that heresy. It's really rampant. They're struggling with the lack of knowledge of the ancient faith. You know, so there's a lot of, their theology is an inch deep, you know, and so they need training. That's why they keep asking us to come down. And because Paulo knows that. Africa's certainly struggling with those issues. You know, but they got revival going on. It's a lot of fun. You know, and God moves in Africa. I mean, it's just there. But they got their battles too. They got their struggles. They're at war too. It's not like there's a place where the church is not at war. It's just this is our battle. This is the battle we're fighting. And we're going to win the battle. Do not grow weary in doing good. For in due season, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. Don't grow weary in doing good. Don't isolate. Encourage one another. Build one another up. You can do FaceTime, Skype, conference calls. All kinds of ways not to isolate today. It's not as good as getting together, but when your bishop calls you together, it's a good thing. How many think it's been a good thing to gather here today? Feel God, the Lord's been moving. I know you had to come to New York, but you found out you're not dead. You know, nobody's been robbed. And, you know, friendly people around, you know, good food. Hopefully you'll come back. Tell some of the brothers who weren't here to come back. Don't. When the bishop calls you together, get together. You need to. You're in war. You're in war. You finally can't isolate. You're in a war. And you know, one of the things the enemy does is he's like a cat, a prey, separates. When you get weak, he separates that weak one out and then nails him. Don't let the enemy pull you out where you're all alone doing your thing. You know, get together with your brothers. Father, I thank you for these men, and I ask you, Lord, just to pour out your blessing upon them, upon their churches, upon their families. Lord, I just pray that the remaining time, this Eucharist and the ministry this afternoon, that you'll continue to be the wind and the fire, Lord, that you'll continue to pour out your miraculous, especially the miraculous of the Eucharist, that we will indeed really see you in the breaking of the bread. And Lord, that our churches, our Eucharistic celebrations will be filled with passion and a love for you, that we would know that love and then make it known. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We ended.